Do you want to find solutions on how to make decisions faster, how to solve problems with your teams, or define a clear strategy that resonates with your staff and customers? There is a workshop for that. Hello there, I'm Nati Ravez, founder of La Workshoppeuse. I'm a collaboration consultant and workshop facilitator, member of an amazing workshopper community. In this podcast, I meet them to get the best advice on facilitation, and I let leaders and managers speak to understand the challenges they are facing. Welcome to the show. Discovering the world of facilitation is really exciting. It seems like you never stop learning. In the meantime, there are plenty of websites, courses, and communities that help you find all the information you might need as a facilitator. But sometimes you just need someone, a sparring partner, a guide to organizing it all. Someone who can also help you find your own system or even your own style as a facilitator. My guest today has made this her mission. After years of experience as a facilitator, she's become a workshop experience designer with the focus of guiding facilitators in developing their skills and competencies from where they are. Her name is Rachel Davis, and I'm thrilled to have her on this podcast episode. Stay tuned if you want to hear more about what types of services Rachel offers you, learn about how she uses card decks to get inspiration for her workshops, what tricks, tools, and platforms she uses in her work, and finally, her passion project as a Butter community curator. I hope you enjoy listening, and feel free to leave me a comment on my LinkedIn profile. Let's go. Welcome, Rachel Davis.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me now? Yes.
Yes. Tape two. Yes, I can hear you now very good. We had a very little technical issue before.
Well, you know, we had to start the day with a laugh.
Yeah. We had, and now we are good, and now we can continue. So welcome, yes. Rachel. I'm very, very happy to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. I was so excited, actually, when you reached out to me. I was like, oh, I see her on LinkedIn all the time, and now I get to be on the podcast.
So, yeah, and I was so excited because I thought, wow, this girl has a lot of tips and advices and cool tools and set cards, and I would love to have her on the podcast. So I'm so happy we are here, and we will learn more about you, about all the things that you are doing, from your engagement in the Butter community, from the tools and techniques that you use, and also what is a workshop experience designer and facilitator, because this is your title on LinkedIn.
Yes.
So we will talk about all this, but first of all, I always ask my guest to tell me a little bit about their backgrounds and their experiences and journey into facilitation, because we talked about it. Actually, at this time in 2023, there are not one person who is falling into facilitation like from the beginning of their career. Mm-hmm. But they have, yes, a background that brings them to this. So, Rachel, I would love to hear, what is your background and what was your journey into facilitation?
Well, like you said, have talked about before, there's no one that really so far has started as a facilitator. There's a couple, but I hope in the future that people will be starting as facilitators as their job role. Right now, I think it's really gaining speed. And so, I didn't start as a facilitator. I have about a almost 20-year career.
And wow.
Yes, I recently turned 40, so...
So I thought I look young, but you are looking
very young. Like, I thought you are between 25 and 30, honestly.
That just means I have a really long career ahead of me, I guess. I think that's...
Yes.
I've actually had someone tell me once that I need to make my profile picture make me look older, that it's losing me work. And I said, ah, be quiet. I don't, you're not my type of client. I don't need to make myself look older. So, you know, people get the value out of what they see from me, and what you see is what you get, or what you hear is what you get. my career, I actually started in communications, because communications is in everything. My degree is actually in mass communications and advertising. And I have a master's certificate in public relations and strategic public relations and integrated communications. Now, I've never really used much that I learned in college, and everything after that is all self-taught. So, you know, great. You don't necessarily have to go to school for a lot of these things. I think there's a lot of professional education out there that's really great. So throughout my career leading up to this, I've done almost everything, right? I'm like a unicorn. I've led design teams. I've led user experience research teams. You know, I've done business development. I've done a lot of different things leading up to my career. And then in the past decade, we're going to talk in decades now. I have done a lot of brand strategy, business strategy, design thinking, right? And these are things that naturally fall into facilitation. You have to gather ideas, you have to gather insights from people, and those naturally happen a lot of times in workshops, especially design thinking. I've actually been through the IBM Design Thinking Facilitator training in person in their New York offices when I was part of AIGA, which is the Professional Association for Design here in the US. I was actually on the board in Baltimore, and it was a special thing they offered to us. We went to New York. We got a two-day training for their design thinking facilitator training. And I think I had done facilitation before that. And this was back, I think in 2017, but that really like solidified my love, I think, for facilitation. And just everything we did in person there. And I had been writing workshops before that, but I think it really kind of drove my trajectory forward from that point on. Mm-hmm. So that all those things have a theme in common, right? Facilitation, communication, gathering ideas, making brave spaces for people to open up. And I think it just naturally drove me to workshop design and facilitation.
And I think it became for you like a passion, because now you are concentrating on the workshop design.
Yes. So over the past year, actually, this 2023 will actually be the first year, I think, where I've fully leaned into only that.
Okay.
Only workshop design and facilitation. I've always done it maybe as a majority or like a huge part of my job. But last year, I kind of thought to myself, all right, well, this is what I really want to do. This is what brings me joy. I'm going to do this going forward. And I think it was just this moment for me where I was like, all right, let's do this. We're going forward with workshop design.
Okay. And then you start straight your own business, or you had the possibility to do workshop design in your old company?
I've actually worked for myself for several years now. I have not been an employee for years, and I don't think I ever will be again. I think I like working for myself. I've been a consultant, even if it was for strategy or other design process, other things throughout the past, I think, 4 or so years. I've really had my own consultancy. And worked for myself and been able to work the way I like to work. I think that's really, I'm really just kind of pivoting the focus of my business this year to make sure I'm really leaning into workshop design and facilitation.
Yes. And coming from that, on your LinkedIn profile is written workshops experience designer and facilitator.
Yes.
And this is very interesting, because this is a special part into facilitation that you are deepen. It means that you are here also for other facilitators or for your clients. And tell me more about that.
First of all, I just kind of want to talk about the word experience, right? We all think about workshops, and if you ask anyone, they might think, okay, the workshop is the time we're spending together in the room. But it's really more than that. It's a full experience. What happens in the planning? What happens before the workshop? What does the invitation look like? Then, of course, what happens in the workshop? Then what happens after the workshop? What are those closing moments? How do you close the loops, right? It's a whole experience, all the way from the planning through to after, and even beyond after. What are people saying about that to other people, right? It's a whole experience. And what I realized was, you know, it's great. I design a workshop. I go in and facilitate it, but I really want to help the industry of facilitators. And what I want to do is help them design experiences as well, right? So as it's coming up and becoming a bigger role, and people are doing that more and more, they can either do it in their own roles. Let's say they're a strategist, a designer, a web designer. They might be running workshops, or they might be just a facilitator in their own, right? They run team alignment workshops or offsites or something like that. And I really want to help them look at, okay, I have all this content. I might want to run a workshop. I might want to sell a workshop. I don't know how to design this experience. How do I do it in person? How do I do it online? Which one do I pick, right? What do I do beforehand? Things that, you know, I might not have thought of. I mean, they could be anywhere from an experienced facilitator to someone who's just starting out, right? Because I'm still learning things, and I would consider myself an experienced facilitator, but every day I learn something new. So, yeah. You know, this is about, you know, being there side by side with someone, even behind the scenes, and helping them build that experience that they can put out into the world.
When people are coming to you, mm-hmm. are they coming to you because they are starting from scratch, or are they coming to you because they have the topic, they have an idea about which activities they want to do? At which step is your work starting?
So both, actually, right? I've had people come to me who think they know what they want. Oh, I need X type of workshop. And then we get into the first discussion and I'm like, really, you need this type of workshop, right? So they might know what they need. I've had a client that I've worked with who came to me and they did know what they needed. They said, okay, we need to design a retrospective that we could use with our clients. And then we need a little coaching on how to facilitate that ourselves. And so that was an interaction where I had them, oh, okay, what kind of things have you done before? What type of clients do you have? What tools are you using, right? We're not going to like give them a whole new tech stack, but if they're open to that, great. How can we make this fit within your business and your personality too? Coming from a brand strategy background, you want that to fit the personality of your brand so you don't come off as completely different to your clients. I mean, sometimes it's great to be different, but you want to integrate that into your voice, your personality, and bring new ideas at the same time. So we created this virtual retrospective. We used Miro. And then I actually created a guide for them using Notion, and I gave them a Notion page that was a facilitation guide. Okay, here's how you use the Miro template. Here's some tips for when you're facilitating this. Here's all your files, right? And so that kind of wrapped that all up to them. And then, of course, they can ask me questions. Hey, this went well. This didn't go well. What can we change?
Okay, so you're a truly sparing partner. And I told this to another person, but like also a Jedi for the facilitators.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's really all about that guidance, right? And, I'm okay with the word coach, but that's not really what I consider myself, right? I'm really a partner, right? Because we do it in many times in real time, right? Like, okay, I already have this client. Can I run some things by you that I am thinking of pitching? What do I put in my proposal? Does this look okay? So I guess I can meet people where they are is really, you were talking about what kind of where they are. And I think my mindset is meeting people where they are, right? Yeah. No matter where they are in their facilitation journey. You know, one of the other things I really believe in is if you work in an agency or a larger company, building a facilitation practice within that company, right? So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have, you might have individual facilitators in your company, but this is a facilitation practice, and how do you integrate it into the work that you're already doing in your company? How do you provide guidance to people who might want to learn facilitation? I think that's really important moving forward, especially with the remote world.
Yes, it's true. It's true. This is amazing. You know, when you are a beginner, you are a little bit scared and you need a little bit more confidence. And of course, there are other possibilities like finding a community of fellows that are doing the same. But sometimes they are also beginners, so it's good to have someone who give you some ideas from as a neutral person and help you in this field. Really nice.
Feel free to click the bell to subscribe this podcast on your player. You can also follow me on LinkedIn for more information on facilitation and workshops.
I know that you are a passionate card set lover.
Yes, I have many, many card decks.
End of last year, you were introducing a lot of card sets that you are discovering or using and make like a few information about them, how to use them. So do you know how many card sets you have?
Oh my goodness. I actually don't, but I was cleaning my office the other day and I posted a picture of all the card decks that I have that I was trying to, it was like Tetris, trying to put them all back into the cabinet and make them fit. You know, I have over 20, maybe over 30, and I'm still collecting them. So I have some reviews that I wrote last year, but I have a ton more in the queue to review this year. And so they're coming. And then I think what I really like writing about and what I'm going to expand this year is how to actually use those as a facilitator. So even if it's not really like a facilitator specific card deck, like I have a lot of creativity decks. And there are so many ways to use that as a facilitator that I think people might not have discovered yet, or they aren't using it in that specific way. And I also use these card decks when I'm consulting with people building their own workshops too. Hey, have you thought about this technique? And it's really to spark ideas. I don't know if you're familiar of the concept of a swipe file, but
no, I'm not.
So a swipe file is basically an inspiration file, right? It's where you swipe ideas from. You can swipe starter ideas. You know, I like to use Notion for this, where I collect all my thoughts, and then I could swipe from that and gather all the different little nuggets from all these card decks that I'm like, okay, I'm going to use that in the future. I don't know when, but it's going in the swipe file, and I'm going to refer to it in the future sometime. I might pull it for a client. I might pull it for my own workshop. You know, it gets to be a lot, so you might need to tag and organize that a little. Sometimes you got to go some spring cleaning up on your swipe file. But it's really, you know, it's a great way to just put what you're learning in a place where you can action it later.
Yes. And for that, Notion is a truly good tool to use it. I use also Notion, and I can understand. I use also, for example, decision cards in workshops when I want for the kind of workshops where we are defining roles and tasks and who is responsible for what, or who is the decider, or who has to inform someone. And instead of having big conversation or discussions, I give four cards to each participant, and I put I pointed out to a specific task and ask, okay, who is the decider, who is the person who has to inform, and when there are misunderstanding, then we can go into another activity to find out what is the solution. So I love these cards, but I don't know so much I have some cards from Manuel Grasla, the Lego Serious Play trainer, sent me for Christmas a set of cards and Legos, and I will use them for sure for different kind of workshops. But what kind of set cards are your favorite?
Well, I was very jealous when you showed me those Lego Serious Play cards, and I immediately went on his website, but they didn't have the English version. But he told me they're making another print run in February, and could I wait? And I said, of course I can wait. I mean, I'm very excited, but of course I can wait. So I will be getting a set of those at the end of February, likely. Nice. And so you can wait for a review on those, because I love Lego Serious Play. So a lot of times I don't actually use the cards in the workshops. I use them mostly as inspiration, because some of these decks are about planning your workshop.
Yeah.
So like the workshop tactics from Pip Decks is about planning your workshop. I recently got three more decks from Pip Decks that just came out of beta, which is Idea Tactics, Team Tactics, and Laws of UX. So you'll see Laws of UX is very specific. It's to like website design. But there are approaches and ideas in those that could inspire workshop activities. So like one of my favorite decks is the Creative Whack Pack, which I've done a review of already, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of approaches to creativity. So that one, and there's a deck called the 75 Tools for Creativity, which is another one I really, really love. And they have ideas like, how do you be more creative? You know, things like mashup brainstorming, mashing up ideas, right? There's ideas in there that help you create a space for a workshop, but you also might develop an activity around one of these concepts, right? Your approach to an activity. So let's say you're doing a design thinking workshop or a brainstorming workshop where you're ideating, you might take one of these concepts instead of just opening up to the room and saying, all right, let's brainstorm. You might take one of these concepts for, let's say, opposite thinking or mashup brainstorming, right? And you might create activity instructions and an activity around them. And really, I think that's how these cards work for me, right? They're this inspiration set. It's the Picasso method, right? Pulling pieces from other places, adding your own ideas, transforming those ideas, right? That's where new ideas come from.
Nice. And will you maybe one day develop your own set, card set?
I would love to. I really would. I think mostly this year, I'm going to focus on creating reviews of what's out there and learn even more. First, right? Take in all that knowledge, learn what works, learn what doesn't work. I've actually had someone reach out to me recently who's creating their own card deck to ask for my opinion of what works and what doesn't work. And we had a fantastic conversation around that. And they were like, oh, these are some great ideas. I might have more questions for you. I've started having people reach out to me saying, hey, I have a card deck. Will you review my card deck? And once that started happening, I was like, oh, okay. People really are paying attention to my reviews. They're not just going into a black hole. So,
no, it's not. Definitely not. And it's nice because you are now one of the experts of card decks, and you will get more and more. Because this is exactly the point where I started to really see you on LinkedIn. Because of this card deck, so thanks to the card decks.
If you'd like to join me for a podcast episode or discuss the challenges you face at work and how I can help, book a free call or send me an email. All the contact information is in the show notes.
What kind of other tools do you like to use for your facilitation or for your work as a workshop experience designer and facilitator?
Sure. I want to preface this by saying when you're a workshop experience designer or facilitator, you should make sure that your core process, it doesn't depend on the tool. That if that tool were to disappear tomorrow, yes, you still understand what you do as a facilitator and where else you might be able to do that, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's a good mindset to have going in any profession, really, right? You don't know what's going to disappear tomorrow.
Yeah.
And So my tech stack has evolved, of course, as the technology has evolved. I there's both Miro and Mural out there. I'm nothing against Mural, but Miro rhymes with hero. Miro is my go-to tool. And I've actually been using Miro since it was real-time board. So before it was even Miro, I actually run a Miro community group, which is really? Designing experiences in Miro. And that's where we do our Miro improv events. We actually have, try to have one every month. Sometimes time gets away from us and I co-facilitate that with, John White. And we have a couple, videos actually up on the Miro YouTube with that. So Miro is really my tool of choice, but if not that it is going away, but if that went away tomorrow, I have all those ideas and frameworks and concepts, done in a way where I could move it to another tool if I had to, right? I don't want to, but if I had to, and then of course I use Butter for all my workshops. I have basically switched from using any other video platform really to using Butter for my coffee dates, my virtual coffees, my intro calls with clients, everything I use Butter for to kind of get them used to it before we even go into a virtual workshop. Now I also started doing more in-person workshops lately, and I actually have a literal workshop toolbox, which has all my physical things. And one of the things that I would recommend as a facilitator is create an Amazon wish list for yourself that has all your facilitation things in it. What's really helpful for this is it's good for yourself. But I've also had some clients who have said to me, I'll buy your materials. And all I need to do is send them that Amazon wish list and be like, this is what I need. Right. I might need to take things on or off depending on the type of the workshop, but it's really helpful. It's a way to kind of automate that part of your process. So you're not scrambling before every workshop to be like, okay, I need to buy this, 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 and this. Right. And you know, I have things like post-it notes, Sharpies,
dots.
Yeah. Dots. Pro tip about Sharpies. I only have black Sharpies. And the reason for that is it actually creates a more level space where if there's different, like, let's say there's boss-like creatures in the room and there's, frontline managers or there's, just different levels of people in the room. They're not like looking to see who has what color Sharpie and trying to see what people are writing. It just kind of levels it out. And then I try to use the same color post-its per activity. Like I have different colored post-its, but I might use all the same color for a specific activity or a specific question under the activity. And it helps to really segment those out in your toolkit. So like in the workshop, you're not like, oh, I have to sort all my colors before we go. And you're like trying to do that. Timer. I have an analog timer in my kit. Another pro tip, don't try to bring that on an airplane. Order it ahead of time. And they don't like what it looks like. Don't try to get that through security in an airport. lots of different things. And painter's tape is a huge one in my toolkit. Scissors. These are
tape. Yeah.
Tape. Things you might not use in a workshop, but are always good to have on hand. So
yes, it's like the little facilitator bag with everything in it. Yes, I have it. I have it also, and I have to check each time if everything is in it or if I forget something. But most of the time, it's everything in. But the tip with Amazon folder is a good one.
Yeah, I think
it's a very good one.
Yeah, whether you buy it all there or not, I mean that's a personal preference. But at least you have you can even make a Notion list, right?
Yes.
With links to where you buy things if you're not buying from Amazon. So
talking about Butter.
Yes.
Because you have a big role in Butter.
I do.
You are like, is it exactly the same like Anna Maria do?
Your
community? No.
Well, Anna Maria works for butter, this is kind of a passion project for me, right? So Anna Maria actually reached out to me and Cheska when they were first creating the community for butter. And they were like, we'd like you to be part of launching the community. So we did a lot of planning on how we might launch the community together as a group of facilitators. And I just thought it was such a wonderful idea. Community is so important to me. And I was like, yes, I'm in. So I, you know, we planned a lot of launch brainstorming events where we brought in potential community members. We talked about what they might want in a community. And it was just such a wonderful way to do it, you know, and they, the way that Butter thought about that was just, it's the way they run their company too. They really listen to their users. They incorporate feedback, and that's the way they run their community. And so I kind of grew in my role in that community. So as a core community member, and, you know, I'm part of moderating the community. And now, most recently, I am running the Butter Mixers. So yes, that's a newer role for me. You know, Anna Maria is still the brainchild behind all of this and is always there to support me, but I'm really taking a bigger role in that in the new year in 2023 and you know, sourcing speakers and running dry runs and helping kind of kick those off in 2020. Well, we already did a lot of them last year, but now doing more of them in the coming year.
Yes, I think we will prepare together.
Yes,
one of my session on the 20th of April.
Yeah,
but I will be in Indonesia and you will be in the US, so I think we will have a little time issue.
Yeah, I think it's like Anna Maria says it's like 1 a.m. my time. So this is great because we're such a great partnership, her and I, because she's in a time zone that's closer to that.
Yeah.
And so she'll run those. And that's how we cater to a worldwide community, right? We take those things into account.
Yeah, it's really incredible how they build Butter. I have a lot of respect and full of inspiration. Jacob was on the podcast in one of the episodes at the beginning of the year, and he told us how he started to make some users surveys, interviews, bring the people in, and actually these are all the people who are now in the community, and you are one of them. So very inspiring. If I'm building something, this will be an example for me.
Yeah, they did it in such a great way. And I think it also shows the power of facilitation because they ran a lot of workshops to build that community, right? That was a matter of us facilitating brainstorming workshops, right? And so they really embraced how people facilitate, what that looks like, and what a tool could look like for them.
It was very, very nice to talk about all this with you. So if someone needs someone like you, a workshop experience designer and facilitator, how can we reach out to you? Because I think you are launching very soon.
Yes.
A very new branding. I guess there is a new website.
Yes. It's going to be rachedavis.com. Basically what I'm doing is I'm growing my personal brand, and that's going to become my consulting brand. Because like I mentioned, I'm kind of pivoting, transforming, growing into who I really am. In the world of workshopping and facilitation. And I'm also going to be launching a YouTube channel, which will have some of these things like how to use the cards in an activity. I've been gathering different topics, so I would love to hear topics from people. Really, the best way to connect with me is on LinkedIn. That is my platform of choice. I love when people send me messages there. And, you know, that's where a lot of my coffee chats originate. People just write me, hey, I'd love to have a coffee chat with you. I send them a Calendly and we get started, right? That's really where a lot of my relationships originate.
Yes, I really love LinkedIn. I think I have learned so much people in 2022, and now this year people are reaching out. This is really a beautiful place. And I'm very happy that I had the possibility to know you on LinkedIn. So thank you very, very, very much that you were here today. And you will have all the information about Rachel in the show notes, of course.
Thank you for having me. This was lovely. I mean, I could talk about this stuff all day. But, you know, and also people can join the communities I'm in, the Butter community, the Miro Miro user group community. They changed names a couple of times. It's called our particular group is Designing Experiences in Miro. And then I'm also as a member in a lot of other different communities as well that are out there. And I try to kind of give back knowledge. You might see me popping up in some of the comment threads there.
Okay. So the best way to learn about your communities and everything that you are doing is, first of all, LinkedIn.
Yes.
And I wish you all the best for this year 2023, everything that is coming. I'm sure we will stay in touch, we both.
And, oh, we better.
Yes, we better. Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you want to know more about Rachel's work, publications, or card decks reviews, click on her Bento profile linked in the show notes. And if you want to see her in action, join the next Mirrorboard Improv event that happens once a month. I promise it's a lot of fun and you'll learn some built-in features to create boards and also see some amazing butter features in action. In the next episode, I'll welcome Catherine Shepherds and Michelle Howard, the organizer of the Facilitator Connect retreat, which will take place September 11th until 15th in the Netherlands. If you are an entrepreneur in the facilitation field, don't miss this episode because you'll understand why this event is made for you. And there will be a special bonus for podcast listeners who want to attend this event. So stay tuned, and until then, I wish you health, happiness, and of course, a lot of success. Au revoir.